Hey friends, you're tuning in to Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. Hope everybody is doing well on this Thursday. I keep thinking that it's like Tuesday, but no, it is Thursday. And I wanted to just jump on for a little bit and talk about a topic that we kind of started looking at this week. And it was a post that I had posted on, and it really seemed to resonate with a lot of people, which I understand because, you know, I'm always wanting to post things that resonate with me, right? And so this was on the topic of what I wish people had said to me when I was sick. And again, I just want to clarify, like, this is not a shame post or like a, you know, I don't want you to hear this or read this and be like, oh my gosh, I said that to her, I should apologize. Like, none of that at all whatsoever, because, you know, I've actually said things to others as well who are navigating chronic pain. And I know a lot of times, most of the time, it is because of we're just uncomfortable and we don't necessarily know what to say. So, hi guys. Hi everybody. So I just wanted to help be a little bit of a resource for maybe those of you who are going through chronic pain, or for those of you who have friends, families, loved one, coworkers, like anybody in your life who maybe also struggles with chronic pain as well, and just help give like a little bit of handles. Obviously, none of us, right, are the same. So things that I might say, somebody else might be like, no. But it's just to kind of get all of us thinking and processing a little bit. Also, kind of at the end of this, I want to talk a little bit about actually how to completely change the narrative around how we talk about our chronic pain, especially when it comes to learning about the mind body. And we're just going to touch on it a little bit because we go deep into it in my 21-day course for chronic pain, where it's really just starting to reinterpret most of what we've known about chronic pain and just give you handles and really, really, really help equip you to feel like I feel like I'm actually growing in my walk with chronic pain. So also before we start, I just wanted to point out, you know, you can learn more about my story and my testimony. I was honored. I got to share my story with an amazing ministry called Propel. And these are a bunch of just phenomenal, on fire for God women. And it's an amazing resource. And so they featured me in one of their articles. And so I'll add it to this when, you know, the post is in my feed. But it's on Propel Women. And it's just another way that I share my testimony. Because, you know, I navigated around a decade worth of chronic pain. And so everything that I'm wanting to talk about is all just from personal experience. And I know some of you are going through it right now. And it can feel scary and really confusing. And maybe you just don't even know where to start. And I understand that, because when I first learned about the mind-body syndrome, I took so many different courses. I read all the different books. That was super helpful. And so the way that I designed my 21-day course was to be like super comprehensive for those of you who are like, I don't know where to start and I really feel hopeless and lost and I want to know if there is healing for chronic pain. And there is. So I just have a lot of really great resources that I'm so passionate about because I feel like they're really helpful and effective and that. Okay, so there's that. So today we're actually going to talk about this conversation. And I absolutely, for those of you listening, would love for you to input into this as well while we're on here. You know, things that I wish people had said to me when I was navigating chronic pain. Now, you know, it can be an interesting conversation to have, especially because nobody's journey is the same, right? So I battled with chronic pain for about 10 years, and it was all different sorts of types of pain. It was all body fibromyalgia, arthritis, chronic migraines, chronic fatigue. And one of the big things for me was my vocal pain. So when I would sing, it would just hurt constantly 24/7. I was always in pain. And so that whole journey is a completely different conversation for another time. But, you know, really realizing like my whole identity was in my voice. So when I was like, I don't think I meant to sing anymore because it hurts so much, that's really what instigated me to be like, no, I really, really, really want to get better. And so, you know, again, these questions that I have written out are not a one size fits all for everybody, right? But I think the interesting thing is when you are somebody navigating chronic pain or just chronic anything, anxiety, chronic depression, something that is affecting your day to day, we all have this desire, or I shouldn't say we all, I had this desire for everybody to see me as normal, right? So I didn't really want to stand out. I didn't want to be a burden. I didn't want to be the center of attention. It's, you know, I'm working through like, what are my issues with being the center of attention? Like, why does that bug me so much, you know? And I also am a big chronic people pleaser. So I wanted to please everybody around me. And so I've noticed this common trait with those of us who have struggled with chronic issues is that a lot of times we're trying to answer in ways that make the question asker more comfortable, right? So for instance, I feel like people would always ask me like, so what is it exactly that you have? Because you look normal, right? And so there a lot of times I would just pacify my response. I would, you know, I wouldn't make it sound that bad because I really didn't want, one, I didn't want people to like keep asking questions, especially if it was like strangers or very mild acquaintances. Obviously, it's different for very close friends and family, right? That you feel safe and comfortable with. But yeah, for me, I just didn't want it to like spiral into more questions. And I also felt like I never had a good enough answer, which, you know, it really points to oftentimes when we are navigating something, it's so easy to just go into this place of overwhelm. And when we talk about nervous system regulation, and there's a theory called polyvagal theory, and that goes deep into the fight, flight, rest, and repair of our nervous system. And so for me, overwhelm was a really big thing. I wasn't actually always like keyed into what it is that I felt at all times. So when people would ask me like, how are you feeling? I honestly wouldn't always know. Hi, Amber. So sometimes when people would ask me, so what is it exactly that you have? Because you look so normal. It was like all of these layers of me just trying to get people to not ask more questions. Also me trying to give them an answer that they approved of, right? As a people pleaser. And then also some of it was just like a detachment from what it is that I actually really felt because I wasn't always very clear. So some of the questions that I would get asked often, one of them would be, how are you feeling today? You look great. Are you better? And again, this is not to shame because I get the intent of the question. Somebody was asking because they really wanted me to be better because I looked good. And all that did was put this pressure on me to then say, yeah, I'm doing good, right? And I wanted to appease the question that they were asking. And it made me walk away feeling like I was lying, I was an imposter. Like, okay, I say that I have chronic pain, but I'm telling them I feel fine. So now I probably have to look fine all the time because now I'm going to disappoint them if I said I was better and now I'm not better. Oh no, poor them, right? Again, being somebody who's a chronic people pleaser and not wanting attention and not wanting the spotlight put on me, it was just like, yeah, I'm doing okay. Thanks. You know what I mean? And then just trying to get out there or trying to get out of that conversation. Another one was, you know, I'm sorry you're going through that. Thankfully, you don't have it as bad as other people. And that one was always really tough because I think people ask that in a way to help encourage. It's not like they're really trying to shame or guilt. Maybe some people are, but I think in general, it's like they're trying to have that like fake positive outlook. You know what I mean? And be like, yeah, at least, you know, you don't have it as bad as so-and-so or whatever, right? And for me, that just like invalidated my whole experience like in one fell swoop, right? And the fashion minister said, that's been the hardest question for me to answer as I'm on bed rest after surgery. Yeah, I'm so sorry. That is quite a journey to go through. So I'm glad you're here and I'm glad we can support each other and just really, yeah, work through what it means to go through this really difficult time, because it is really difficult. And so I just think saying to me, you know, good thing you don't have it as bad as so-and-so, was really just a way for someone to kind of gloss over and move on. You know what I mean? And I would say if you are somebody who is not just really wanting to engage in a conversation with somebody who is going through something really intense because you don't necessarily know how or what to say, just saying love you, praying for you is always great, or just not engaging in conversation. Because I think we just don't realize how much our words have an impact on those who are going through so much. Like, it's the very little things that people said over time that really stuck with me, and that I really, really had to say to Jesus, like, I need to believe what you said over me, because people in love are saying things to me that are just making me feel even worse and horrible. And yeah, people do have it worse than me. So why am I not living my best life and like really trying to just ignore and, you know what I mean? Like all of that stuff. And so all I did was shame myself and, you know, bully myself into being like, yeah, why aren't you better? Like, you kind of suck at doing this. You know what I mean? And it just went into this self spiral, and all of that was just triggered by somebody, you know, not intentionally saying a comment that really was very painful. Now, again, we have to take responsibility in how we guard our hearts and our minds, right? Just because somebody said something doesn't mean we have to believe it. But when you are going through such an intense time of chronic pain or anxiety or depression, like, your guard and your defenses are not up, right? A lot of us are just like trying to get through the day and surviving, right? So it can be just such a an interesting thing to navigate sometimes. And the ways that, you know, we forget how, I don't want to say fragile as in to like tiptoe around each other, but just realizing like, wow, I need to treat this with a little bit more care, right? We want to care for the people that we're talking to and not just like check them off and, you know, walk away because we want to get our questions answered. I think that was something I really felt like from people, is like they really wanted to understand, not necessarily from a compassion angle, but like because it needed to make sense to them, like logically, you know what I mean? And there was definitely the amount of people who were like, I just really, really want to know what's going on because I really want to pray for you. And so again, you know, it's a wide spectrum of intention of people, right? But it can be a really hard thing, and it feels like the responsibility is put on those of us who are struggling with chronic pain to come up with a good answer or something to pacify your request, right? So another thing was, a lot of people had always just been like, hey, just text me to come hang out. Like, I just want to come over and be with you, which for me, okay, so this is me, beautiful gesture, love it so much. But for me, that would make me feel like I now had to entertain. And even though it was like, you don't have to get out of bed, you don't have to talk, you don't have to do any of that, because I was, and working through it, amen, such a chronic people pleaser, there was no way you were going to come over and I was just going to lay in bed and not talk to you. Like, no, I was going to get up, act human, you know what I mean? Like, because that just sounded horrible. For people to just come and sit, horrible. Now, it's a beautiful gesture. And there are some people who would absolutely love that. So, you know, an encouragement for those of you who are in relationship to people who, you know, are going through things like this. It's a beautiful thing to ask, like, hey, you know, I'm in your neighborhood. Do you want, can I bring you anything or can I come over? Sometimes that can still be an intense question because some of us may be like, oh, I'm not home, or like just not answer. I've definitely done a lot of not answering and then being like, so sorry, I didn't see this text. All of that. excuse me. So those were some things, you know, that can be difficult. Another question that all of us have gone through is like, oh my gosh, did you hear about the girl who got off gluten and she was totally healed? Have you gotten off gluten? That was a frustrating one because, first of all, I got off gluten 75 years ago. That was the first thing I did, and it did nothing for me. So for me, that made me angry because I'm like, just getting off gluten, that's child's play. Okay. And then also us kind of trying to treat each other can be really difficult. Now, I'm totally guilty of this as well because I, being somebody who's so interested in health and wellness, and now, of course, the mind-body connection, like, it can be such out of compassion, like, hey, have you heard about, or like, have you read, or have you, you know, but I really think we have to be aware of when people are open for options or when people are literally just trying to get through their day and want to be around people and be in community and be in relationship, all this stuff, and not necessarily have to have the focus on their health, right? So that was a tough one. Another one was people asking about the intensity of my pain. What is it today? How does it feel today? What does it feel like right now for you? Like, where does it hurt right now? And when we talk about our pain from a mind-body perspective, it's really an unhelpful thing to do, simply. I was going to get into why, but I'm going to do that later. Also, the opposite, and this is for anybody going through anything. I think a lot of us are like, oh, I didn't want to ask you about your pain because I didn't want to bring it up. Like, I didn't want you to think about it. I guarantee you that we're always thinking about it. Always. And anybody, this isn't even chronic pain. Anybody going through any kind of intensified situation, hard or good, we are thinking about it. So to not ask at all can be really hard. And if you're listening and you're like, okay, so you're saying don't ask, but also ask, that feels very confusing. That's not what I'm saying. It is the heart behind the way that we ask things. So something that I have loved that friends have done has been things like, hey, I left a coffee on your front step, or I left, you know, lunch on your front step or something. And the reason that this is so impactful is that it really makes you feel seen and known. And it's a super, super, super simple gesture because it didn't require anything from me, right? It didn't require my chronic people pleasing to kick into gear, right? But it made me know, like, you are thinking about me, you love me, you know that my love language is coffee and that I'm obsessed with coffee, and you followed through on it, which I think can be really beautiful. Sometimes I think, and I've heard other people talk about this, like when we're going through tough times and we say, hey, let me know if I can do anything for you. The power behind just doing something without even asking, right? Because again, like when we're going through things, like your mind can be in such a fog and you can be in overwhelm and disconnection from your own mind and body, and you don't even know what you think or feel or need. There's something so powerful in somebody saying, hey, I brought this for you. I thought you might be hungry, right? Rather than being like, can I bring you anything? What do you want? Again, it's, you know, it's per person, but you can never go wrong with doing like a small gesture that lets somebody know that they are seen and heard, because, you know, it can be such a lonely journey to go through things like chronic pain, because not only do you not know what the heck is going on, right? I mean, even with fibromyalgia and Lyme's and all of these things, like, you know, when you first start that journey of going to the doctor, nobody necessarily knows what is going on. They kind of just give these labels, right? Because it's kind of this unknown. So not only do you not feel like you actually have a gauge on what's going on in your own body, so you feel unsafe in your body, you feel like nobody else knows what it is that's going on inside of you either. And I mean, I did the whole finding, you know, Facebook groups and different communities that struggled with chronic pain. And there was definitely ways in which, you know, you felt not completely alone, right? Because people were kind of going through different things. But we all process it and navigate it emotionally so different that I just still felt like nobody has any clue what's going on with me. Or I would see other people that struggle with it, but I was like, wow, like, she's handling it so much better than me. Man, I really suck because I can't figure out how to get over this, right? Like, it was just that, let me get over this quickly and move on with my life. So it's the isolation that can be as intense sometimes as the actual pain, right? Now, also things that can be really helpful are like, hey, you look great right now, but I know that it probably took so much time for you to feel this way. And I just want to let you know that I love you and I value you. And being with me doesn't require that you, you know, look up to it or look like you're healthy or all of that kind of stuff. Like, I just love being around you and I love being in your presence. Simple things like that can make such a huge impact because, you know, I would never go and be with people if I was in pain because I was like, I'm just going to be quiet and sit there and hate my life. Why would I want to be around other people? Like, they're going to think I'm a downer and I'm messing up the vibe or the mood or all of that kind of stuff. So it can be really, really helpful to hear from your friends and family. Like, your presence simply is what we value. It's not what you bring to the conversation. It's not how you change the environment. It's not if you're funny or not. It's not even if you say a single word. Like, we love you for you and because of who you are. And so we want you around. We don't want you because you give us something, right? We want you because your presence is so important to us. And so that can just be something that is so powerful. Hi, Jocelyn. Hi, my love. So that's just another way that it can be really helpful. Also, simply just, hey, how can I be praying for you? You know, I had so many friends who would just text me out of the blue. And that felt so safe for me to be able to text it, right? Some of us feel more comfortable talking on the phone, talking in person. I think for me at that time, like, text just felt so safe. Another thing, if you're comfortable with it, I really like appreciated when people asked what my love language was because my dream, like when I was at my lowest moments, was just to like lay in a room with my friends and somebody like rub my head or rub my hand or just like touch me. Just like put your hand on my shoulder or my knee and just, that's the way that I feel so loved, right? For others, it can be affirmation. For others, it can be gifts, right? Like bringing coffee or bringing something that, you know, reminded somebody of you. Or what are the other love languages? Touch, time, gifts. What are the other ones? I can only think of three right now. But you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know your love language, that's a great thing to look up is it's the five love languages. And it's a beautiful thing to learn. So I want to pivot a little bit. And, you know, when it comes to this conversation around how we talk about our pain can actually be really important when it comes to regulating our nervous system and our brain. Now, it's important, and I talk a lot about this in my course and in all of my resources because there's a lot to learn about how and why chronic pain and autoimmune disease are activated in our bodies. It was such a complete mindset shift for me when it came to actually talking about my pain And there's different thoughts on this. And again, I only want to touch on it a little bit because it's such a deep topic. But when it comes to the way that our brain and our nervous system listen to all of our thoughts and all of the things that we say, when we are focused on communicating our symptoms and our pain to ourselves and to others, what we're actually doing is we're telling our brain and our nervous system that these symptoms are dangerous. Now, hear me out. If you've never, ever heard me talk about the mind-body connection at all in any way, shape, or form, you're like, yeah, it is dangerous. Absolutely. I get it. So I totally understand. When we're looking at pain from a mind-body or a neuroplastic perspective, we need to take into account that pain is our brain's opinion. So our brain is firing at all times. And the purpose of our brain is that it's wanting to keep us safe. So it is looking at our internal and our external world at all times, 24/7, and it's assessing safety and danger. Oftentimes, when our brain is in this state of dysregulation, fight or flight, this can cause the brain to send signals to the body. Oftentimes, these signals are in pain or sensations because it's interpreting something as dangerous. And pain oftentimes is the thing that keeps us safe from these external stimuli that we find, that the brain finds dangerous. So that could be, I was talking about this today, being around family members that make you feel unsafe. And if we've actually never learned how to navigate emotionally, how to be around people that trigger us, every single time our brain is going to go into, oh, this is dangerous. I need to turn on and I need to send signals to get this person out of here, right? Not this person, to get, my brain knows it's me, right? So if I, conflict is a big thing for me. So if I'm in situations where there's conflict, I often shut down immediately and I don't say anything. And internally what is going on is I'm repressing my emotions. I'm repressing how I feel. There's all of this energy, right? If we talk about, stress, but this energy that we just try and keep below the surface and we keep pushing it down. Our brain is like, no, this is super dangerous. Get her out of here. And oftentimes I would get migraines. I would get IBS. My fibromyalgia would flare, right? And it would get me out of that situation and back into bed where I was safe. So when it comes to talking about my symptoms and talking about my pain to other people, my chronic pain therapist was the first one to talk with me about this, is that if I'm telling my brain, if I'm telling people that these symptoms are bad, let alone just telling them what my symptoms are, I'm communicating to my brain that what it's doing is working, right? So, chronic fatigue, where you sleep for like 18 hours a day and then wake up and you just don't feel good, right? So oftentimes people would ask me, hey, how do you feel today? What that's doing is that's causing me to stay preoccupied with the symptoms that are in my body. And all that is doing is telling my brain, you're doing it right. These symptoms are important and they're needed because they need to keep me safe. And safety and happiness are not the same thing. Safety and fulfillment are not the same thing. Safety, according to the brain and the nervous system, is keeping us away from what it views as a predator, right? When we think of our primitive brain and it sees danger as that bear or that lion, right? That's dangerous. And it's like, I got to get them out of there. So when we're talking about our symptoms at all times, it keeps this fight or flight activated. Now, it's really hard to act, not hard. It is hard though, to change our language around our pain. And we really go deep into this in my course because what we have to do is learn how to talk about our pain and our symptoms in a way that feels integrous to us, where we feel seen and heard, but we're not giving preoccupation to them. And so what I had to do with some of the people in my life, and they respected it, right, which I so appreciated, was they stopped asking about my symptoms and they just started asking about like my emotional world and things that were going on in my life, right? It's so important to help us start to navigate conversations away from our symptoms because it's just keeping us preoccupied and focused on these symptoms. And it can be really hard to change our brain's opinion if we're just constantly telling it that the opinion it has is correct. So I hope this can be a little helpful for those of you. I understand if you've never heard about the mind-body connection, going into the conversation of like not talking about your symptoms, you're like, no. So don't even worry about that. But I just really, really want to encourage you to take a look at some of the resources that I have, because my entire life has been changed from learning about the mind-body connection and neuroplastic pain. I'm walking in a healing that I never knew possible, that I didn't actually ever believe was possible. I have known people that have had healing testimonies of getting out of wheelchairs and living 30, 40 years with fibromyalgia, sciatica, right? Like very intense. What's the thing when your spine is totally, why can't I think of what that's called? I can't think of what that is called right now, but I've just known people with incredibly painful and crazy health situations who have been completely or very much healed from this pain and these symptoms. So it is very possible. And I don't say that to like dangle it as a carrot, right? I'm saying it because I am one of thousands of testimonies who have healed from debilitating chronic pain and illness through understanding the mind-body connection. The pain is not made up. We're not making it up. But the source of our pain is just different than we've ever been taught. Your body is not attacking itself. Your body is not your worst enemy. There is a way to partner with your brain and your body in a way that God created it to function in healing. So I think that's about it. If you are interested in any of my resources that I have, you can go to wisdomandwellness.www.com. I know that I pinned it here on Instagram. I don't know where it is, but it just said beforehand, do you want to pin your website? So wisdomandwellness.www.com. If you have questions, please reach out to me. I'm always, always available because I want to see you be healed from chronic pain.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.